May 10th, 2013. In Villa Vrindavan, Italy. We can't get it any clearer than that, huh? The contrast or something? It's really like faint. And the room isn't even that light. It's not that, it's not the focus. It's the contrast or the brightness that needs to be fixed. We're doing a meditation on Brihat Bhagavatamrita. Hare Krishna. This is the Brihat Bhagavatamrita, as written by Sanatan Goswami. And this is actually a story within a story within a story. Starts with Maharaj Briket talking to his mother, Uttara. And this is after the Bhagavatam was spoken and before Briket left this world. So Uttara asked him about the... Uttara asked him about the destination, particularly of the residents of Vrindavan. And she could not believe that the residents of Vrindavan would have the same destination as the residents of Mathura or Dwarka. She understood that the only ultimate realm was Vaikuntha, but she couldn't see how all the devotees could attain to the same realm because she saw that they had different grades of perfection. So she asked about this, particularly she asked about the gopis in the Rasalila. How could they just go to Vaikuntha? So Maharaj Briket remembered how when he was in the womb of his mother, the Lord had protected him. And meditating on that protection, he told his mother this story. So actually, the original storyteller is Janamejaya and Jamini, who tells the story of Briket and Uttara, and then Briket tells Uttara the story of a poor brahmana. So a brahmana, of course, is of the priestly order. But he was very poor, and he wasn't very spiritually developed, and he wanted money. So in praying for money, he actually had a vision of a divine goddess who gave him a mantra. She gave him a Gopal mantra. And by chanting this Gopal mantra, his desire for money disappeared. Then by chanting this mantra, gradually not only did his desire for money disappear, but the mantra appeared to him like a box full of jewels. He then went to the Ganga, where he saw persons engaged in trying to go to the heavenly planets. But by the strength of his mantra, he found that he was not very interested in that and gave up his desire to go to heaven. Then he went to Kashi, and in Kashi he saw renunciates, sannyasis, who wanted to merge into the Brahman. So he kept chanting his mantra, and he thought, maybe I would like to be a sannyasi, going to merge into the Brahman, instead of getting wealth and going to heaven. But at that point, the deity of his mantra, Gopal, appeared to him in a dream, and said, don't take sannyas, go to the holy land of Mathura, and there in the Vrindavan forest you will get all your desires fulfilled. And then Lord Shiva appeared to him also in a dream and said, don't be foolish and take sannyas. Follow the advice of Madan Gopal and go to Mathura. So then he came to Prayag, and there he also saw that there were people engaged in worshiping the deity. But he didn't think that the deity they were worshipping was the same as his Madan Gopal. He saw that they had many different incarnations, and he thought, my Madan Gopal is a cowherd boy who sports in the forest of Vrindavan. He doesn't have this form as a fish or a turtle or a half man, half lion. He couldn't understand it was the same deity. And then he indeed went to Vrindavan, And when he was in Vrindavan, he saw a cowherd boy with a flute and a peacock feather, and he thought, oh, this must be my deity of Madan Gopal. And the cowherd boy said, no, 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 I am not the Lord, but rather I am a devotee of the Lord, and I've come here to help you. So the Brahmin explained that he'd gotten this mantra from the goddess, that he'd been chanting it, and in chanting it, he'd given up his desire for wealth, he'd given up his desire for heaven, and he'd even given up his desire for liberation. But he was confused about the ultimate goal of life. So Gopakumar then said, what I will do is I will tell you my story. He said, generally, one doesn't talk about oneself. But in this case, it is only telling you my story that will help you to understand the supreme goal of life and how to attain it. So Gopakumar explained that he was born in Vrindavan himself by Govardhan Hill. This is a really, really bad picture. Is this the only projector that we have? Okay, very good. So Gopakumar explains that he was the son of a cowherd at Govardhan Hill, and he used to take care of the cows. And he said that the boys, he and his friends, would see a brahmana, a renounced man, who was wandering around chanting and dancing and laughing. And this cowherd, this brahmana, would often stay in the company of the cowherd boys, and the cowherd boys would give him milk products. Then one day Gopakumara got to actually meet him personally, and this brahmana became the guru of Gopakumara. And this brahmana said, if you want to fulfill all your desires, you should go bathe in Keshigat, and then I will give you some special mercy. So Gopakumar did that, and then the brahmana taught him the same mantra, the 10-syllable Gopa mantra. And the guru started to explain about the mantra and how to chant it, but then he became overwhelmed in ecstasy, and he couldn't finish giving any instructions, and he simply went away. So Gopakumar didn't understand this, but he continued to chant his mantra. So here is the manifestation of the 10-syllable mantra. Now Gopakumar, by chanting this mantra, developed, he didn't know what the mantra was. He didn't know what he was chanting, or what was its purpose, or what it would give him. But by chanting this mantra, he started to develop a desire to see the Lord of the universe. So indeed, he went to the Ganga, and at the Ganga he saw a brahmana worshipping a shaligram shila. And he said, what are you worshipping? The brahmana says, I am worshipping the Lord of the universe. So Gopakumar was so excited because he wanted to find the Lord of the universe. So he became very happy. He bowed down. He took some charanamrita and some prasadam. And then the brahmana finished his worship and put his shila in a box. And Gopakumar got very upset. He said, why are you putting the Lord of the universe in the box? How will he eat? And the brahmana said, I'm sorry, I don't have much facility for worship. If you want to see first-class worship, you should go to the capital. And he said, why don't you come to my house, take some prasadam, and go to the capital. So even though Gopakumar was very hungry, he immediately left and went to the capital. So in the capital, he saw very opulent worship of the four-handed form of the Lord with all the devotees dancing. And he stayed there for a long time, but he always remembered his home at Govardhan Hill in Vraja. The king adopted Gopakumar as his own son. And when the king's son, when the king died, Gopakumar became the king. Now, when he became the king, he still kept his clothing as a cowherd boy. He didn't accept a king's clothing, and he didn't even live in the king's palace. He lived very, very simply. So when Gopakumar was the king, he expanded the worship of the Lord all throughout the capital. But he had so many problems in running the kingdom, so many administrative problems. And some of the Brahmins complained one time that they didn't want to take prasadam because they said maybe someone else has touched it. And he thought, oh, these people are too ritualistic. They don't know how to honor prasadam. So while he was there, some saints arrived from Jagannath Puri. And they said, you know, the people in Jagannath Puri, they're not attached to rituals. They know how to respect prasadam. In fact, they're all liberated. Even the donkeys there have four arms. So therefore, Gopakumar decided that he was going to go to Jagannath Puri. So in Jagannath Puri, as soon as he saw Lord Jagannath, he was in so much ecstasy that he ran to embrace Lord Jagannath, and the guards started to beat him. But Gopakumar was meditating on the fact that he wanted to do some intimate service for the Lord. He saw his guru there in Jagannath Puri, but then his guru disappeared, and he was looking for him everywhere. Finally, he found him on the beach. And the guru said to him, the way this mantra works is whatever you desire, while you chant this mantra, you will get. Have faith in your mantra and never stop chanting under any circumstances. By the power of the mantra, you will always look the same, you will live long, and you will develop the correct mentality. Then the guru disappeared. So Gopakumar continued chanting and seeing Lord Jagannath, always thinking, I wish I could do some service for the Lord. With that desire in mind, the king of Jagannath Puri died. The king's son became a renunciate, and there was no one to be the king. So the ministers then appointed Gopakumar as the king. So he was the king in the capital, now he's the king of Jagannath Puri. So he greatly improved the worship in Jagannath Puri. And he filled Jagannath Puri with first-class Vaishnavas. And he found that it was though very disturbing to be the king. So many administrative problems, so many politics. So he renounced the kingdom, but because he had been the king, the people there still worshipped him. And he didn't like it. So he went to Lord Jagannath and he said, may I please go to Vrindavan? But he couldn't get the words out of his mouth. As soon as he saw Lord Jagannath, he forgot about everything. Then the residents of Mathura visited Jagannath Puri, and Gopakumar had a dream where Jagannath said, go to Vrindavan. And then a garland from the deity fell on Gopakumar. So Gopakumar went back to Mathura, and he wandered there in Vrindavan and at Govardhan Hill, but his old friends didn't notice him. But he wasn't very satisfied because he couldn't see the Lord of the universe like he could see in Jagannath Puri. He wasn't purified enough yet to see that Krishna was in Vrindavan. So he thought, I'm liking being in Vrindavan, but I miss Lord Jagannath. So he decided to go back to Jagannath Puri. But on the way, he saw brahmanas at the Ganga. Now remember, he's telling this story to this other brahmana, who's his disciple. And you remember that brahmana also saw brahmins at the Ganga who wanted to go to heaven. So Gopakumar said that he had the same experience. He saw brahmanas at the Ganga who talked about heaven. But you remember that other brahmana? He said, I'm not interested in heaven. And he went on to Kashi. But what happened to Gopakumar is when he heard the brahmanas talking about heaven, they didn't just talk about the pleasures of heaven, but they talked about how the Lord is always there as Vamandev. If you go to Swarga, you'll be able to see Vamandev. So Gopakumar thought, I want to go to Swarga. So he's chanting his mantra, meditating on this desire to go to Swarga. An airplane then came and took him to heaven. So there he saw Vishnu, Garuda, and Narada in heaven. And he saw Vamandev. Vishnu called out to him and said, Gopakumar, Gopakumar, come here. And Gopakumar saw how Indra was worshipping Vamandev. He worshipped Vamandev as his younger brother. And he thought, I'd like to worship the Lord just like Indra does. And with that desire, he chanted his mantra. Meanwhile, Indra violated the chastity of a sage's wife, and therefore he hid to get free from his sinful reaction. So when that happened, then the Lord, with the permission of Aditi and Sachi, appointed Guru Gopakumar as Indra. So now Gopakumar becomes Indra. He continued chanting, and he continued living very simply. He didn't live in Indra's palace with a lot of opulence, but still he felt separation from Vrindavan. And whenever he felt separation from Vrindavan, Vamandev eased his feelings. And sometimes Lord Vishnu disappeared from the heavenly planets, at which time Gopakumar thought, I really want to see the Lord of the universe. And he thought, I wish I could go back to Jagannath Puri. So one day, Bhrigu Muni and sages came to the heavenly planets, and all the demigods and Lord Vishnu worshipped them. Gopakumar asked the demigods, who is that? But the demigods were envious of Bhrigu, and therefore they didn't reply. Brihaspati said, they're from Mahaloka, they're the Prajapatis. They worship the Lord of the universe as the Lord of sacrifices, and they always see the Lord present in the sacrifice. And Gopakumar thought, I'd like to go there. So thinking like that, he chanted his mantra. And then he ended up in Maharloka. Now, he found that in Swargaloka, the happiness there was thousands of times greater than that on the earth. And when he goes to Maharloka, the planets of the Prajapatis, he finds that their happiness is thousands of times greater than that of the heavenly planets. Here he sees that the Lord of sacrifices is enjoying the offerings in the fire. He saw Lord Vishnu personally present, who gave Gopakumar his remnants. And the Prajapatis there said, why don't you become a Brahmana like us? And Gopakumar says, no. If I stay a cowherd boy, then I can just be your servant. So he stayed in his simple dress. And Gopakumar was very happy there, but when the sacrifices were over, Lord Vishnu would disappear. And Gopakumar would feel great pain. During Lord Brahma's night, there were no sacrifices and no Lord. And then Gopakumar would think, maybe I'd like to go back to sweet Vrindavan, or maybe I should go to Jagannath Puri and see Jagannath again. And when Gopakumar felt this pain of separation, then again there would be sacrifices and the Lord would appear and pacify him. One day, on Mahaloka, a little 5-year-old boy, Sanat Kumara, appeared, and all of the Prajapatis worshipped him. Gopakumar asked the Prajapatis, who is this? They said, you don't know who Sanat Kumar is? They live on Tapaloka. There they are all brahmacharis. So Gopakumar chanted his mantra, meditating on going to Tapaloka. When Gopakumar went to Tapaloka, he saw the four Kumaras, and he was very attracted by them. But he was thinking, where is the Lord of the universe? Where is the Lord of sacrifices? He wandered all over the planet, but he couldn't find him anywhere. And he'd walk up to the sages and say, where is the Lord of the universe? Where is the Lord of sacrifices? But they would be silent because they were in samadhi, in meditation. Then Gopakumar thought, I don't see the Lord of the universe here. I want to go back to Jagannath Puri. So he starts, while he's chanting his mantra, he starts meditating on Jagannath Puri. Then Pipalayan and Muni comes to him and says, why do you want to go to Jagannath Puri? If you just meditate like we do, then you can see the Lord always within your heart, and you don't need to go anywhere. And Pipalayan and Muni spoke to Gopakumar for a long time, saying that the best process of all the 9 processes is meditation. Pipalayan and Muni said, when you're chanting, when you're hearing, really, what you're doing is you're seeing the Lord with your mind. So if you simply use your mind, then everything else is already included. He said, if you want to see the Lord with your physical eyes, you can go to Gandhanamadana Hill, and there is Naranarayan Rishi. So Gopakumar said, yes, yes, I want to go there. But then the four Kumaras came, and the four Kumaras, by meditating on the Lord, they themselves assumed different forms of the Lord. Gopakumara, looking at the four Kumaras, saw many incarnations of the Lord. And Gopakumara asked their forgiveness. And they touched his head, and he immediately went into the trance of samadhi. At that point, his chanting and his mantra improved, but he still was thinking, oh, it was so sweet in Vrindavan. It was so sweet in Vrindavan. Sometimes in trance, Gopakumar wasn't able to see the Lord, and therefore he would get disturbed. But sometimes the various sages in Tapaloka would take on the forms of the Lord by intense meditation. Then one day, this was the form of the Lord that he was meditating on in the heart. Then one day, Lord Brahma came to Tapaloka, and everybody there in Tapaloka worshipped him. But Gopakumar didn't know who he was. Who is this person? And the sages, Gopakumar said, you don't know Lord Brahma, our father? He lives on Satyaloka, where the Lord is always present there along with Lakshmi. The Lord is Mahapurusha with thousands of heads, and Lord Brahma is seeing the Lord on a special Vaikuntha planet. So then, of course, Gopakumar wanted to go there. And so he meditated on Satyaloka while chanting his mantra. There, Gopakumar saw the Mahapurusha with Lakshmi massaging his feet and the Lord instructing Brahma in devotional service. Gopakumar then fainted in ecstasy, and Lakshmi Devi picked him up and brought him to the Lord. Then the Lord took rest, and Brahma created the universe. Gopakumar stayed, and he saw at the end of the day, Brahma would go to sleep with the Lord, and the sages would glorify the Lord while he was sleeping. Gopakumar was seeing this great love between the Lord as a supreme father and Brahma as a son, and he thought, I wish I could worship the Lord like that. I wish I could worship the Lord as my father and Lakshmi as my mother. Sometimes the Lord would go someplace else and be away from Satyaloka, and Gopakumar would feel great separation. Thinking like this, he kept chanting his mantra. One day, Lord Brahma touched some foam that came from a past devastation. Then a demon appeared. Lord Brahma became afraid and ran away. Lord Vishnu killed the demon, but Brahma was scared and wouldn't come back. So there was no Brahma. So then Lord Vishnu said, all right, Gopakumar, you can become the new Brahma. Then Gopakumar flooded the universe with pure devotional service. Gopakumar appointed only pure Vaishnavas to all the positions of management within the universe. But he had many anxieties of management, and he didn't enjoy chanting his mantra as much as he did before. He also heard that as Lord Brahma, eventually he would have to die. Hearing that, he felt some anxiety, and he remembered Vraja. Then he heard the residents of Brahmaloka glorifying someone on earth who'd become liberated and merged into the Brahman. And he said, oh, please tell me about liberation. So the personification of the scriptures, who are all goddesses, the goddesses of the Upanishads, the Shrutis, the Smritis, they were arguing with him, they were arguing with each other and explaining to him about how one can attain liberation. Some of them said liberation is attained by knowledge. Others said liberation is easily attained by devotional service and knowledge is difficult. Finally, the Shrutis and the Smritis agreed that in order to gain liberation, one should perform devotional service. They concluded that liberation is discussed in the Vedas only so people will know what it is and avoid it. They said the happiness of liberation is just like the happiness of not being sick or deep sleep. They said the happiness that comes from the reflection of devotional service is very meager. And they said even the demons get liberation. It's not really such a very great thing. They said, my dear Gopakumar, if you do ritual duties, you'll just get distracted. If you get renunciation, your heart will become hard like a stone. And if you just simply acquire spiritual knowledge, then it'll be like doing violence to the soul. Your goal is prema, where you're never going to be satiated. Don't be interested in rituals, don't be interested in austerities, and don't be interested in dry knowledge, but rather you should go for bhakti. They said you should continue worshiping your mantra if you want to see what liberation is about. And by worshiping your mantra, you can go that beyond the universal shell, there's 8 coverings, each of them 10 times greater than the last. And if you go through these coverings, you will come to Mahakala, great time. But if you want to go there, you can't go directly here from Satyaloka. You have to go back to the earth planet and back to Vrindavan. Lord Mahapurusha, Lord Vishnu said, yes, Vrindavan is not affected by time. You'll meet your guru there again, and then you can go to the Mahakala. After you have satisfied all your desires, Lord Vishnu said, then you will play with me in Vrindavan. So Gopakumar goes back to Vrindavan. And amazingly, even though there had been so many creations and devastations, Vrindavan looked the same. There again, he met his spiritual master. His spiritual master was unconscious in ecstasy, then embraced Gopakumar, told him to take a bath, gave him some more instructions on the mantra, and then again disappeared. Gopakumar chanted his mantra, meditating on going to the Mahakal. Then he traveled upward. His body became transcendental. He broke through the sphere of the sun. He overcame illusion. He crossed all the planets of the universe in an instant. And then he reached the coverings of the universe that were rich in enjoyment. So Swargaloka had been 1,000 times more than Earth. The planet of the Prajapatis 1,000 times more than heaven. That of the renunciates 1,000 times more than the Prajapati. Brahma 1,000 times more than the renunciates. And now he comes to the universal coverings that are then thousands of times more happiness than that of Brahmaloka. The first covering he came to was that of Earth. There he met goddess Bhumi, who was worshipping Lord Varaha. He saw the opulences of the universe were rotating in the pores of the hairs of Lord Varaha. And Bhumi received Gopakumar as her honored guest and said, why don't you stay here and enjoy the pleasures in this covering? So he offered respects to her, but he went on to the next covering, that of water, where the deity of water was worshipping Lord Matsya. And there the pleasures were even greater. Again, the presiding deity requested him to stay, and again he offered respects and went on. There he came to the covering of fire, where the deity worshipped Surya Narayan, and again requested him to stay and enjoy the opulences there. And again he went on. There were the covering of air, where the worship was that of Prajumna, ether, where the worship was that of Aniruddha, ego, where they worship Sankarshan, Mahatattva, where they worship Vasudev. In each covering was superior in terms of enjoyment and in terms of worship. Then Gopakumar came to the covering of Prakriti. Prakriti was worshiping the Lord in the form of Mohini Murti. And Gopakumar found this covering of Prakriti to be very enchanting. It had a blue color, just like Madan Gopal. Mohini offered great yogic powers to Gopakumar and asked him to stay. So Gopakumar said, I don't want to stay, but I'll take a tour. So there he saw that the entities there had bodies made of pradhan, the unmanifested material nature, and they had multiple forms. There he found the abstract forms of raw perception and incredible material happiness. Then he crossed beyond Prakriti to the Mahakal, to the place of light, a light so bright that Gopakumar had to struggle to see the Lord. Now that's, by the way, a real photograph of our Nrisimhadev in Mayapur without any changes done to it. So Gopakumar started to merge into the effulgence of the Lord, but he remembered his guru's instructions to always chant his mantra. So he was chanting his mantra, and the Lord's toenail saved him from merging. So he was very confused. Is this my goal? Is this my goal? But he felt some fear of merging, and he thought, I just want to go back to Vraja. And then he heard some singing and dancing. And he saw a great personality sitting on a white bull with three eyes, naked, with a half moon on his forehead, carrying a trident, wearing a necklace of bones from the bodies of great Vaishnavas, called auspicious bones, with Gauri sitting on his lap. And Gopakumar thought, who is this who is above even liberation? He looks like a sense enjoyer. He bowed down and he came to the bull, Nandishwar. And the bull said to him, this is Lord Shiva, the Lord of the universe. He is not different from the Supreme Lord. And he described the position of Lord Shiva. Gopakumar worshipped him, but he didn't feel very satisfied because he couldn't experience the pastimes of Madan Gopal in Vrindavan. So Lord Shiva, understanding this, he assumed the form of Madan Gopal, but he couldn't assume the charm of Madan Gopal. So Gopakumar was not very satisfied. Gopakumar stayed by the side of Shiva while Shiva rested, and he saw chanting, dancing, and Shiva's associates playing instruments. Then a group of four armed effulgent persons arrived, singing and dancing, along with the four Kumaras. And Uma told Ganesh to explain. Gopakumar says, who are they? And so Lord Shiva's wife told her son Ganesh, you please explain to him quietly. It had to be quiet because the associates of Lord Shiva don't know anything about Vaikuntha. So Ganesh goes to Gopakumar and says, these are the residents of Vaikuntha. And he starts glorifying Vaikuntha, where the Lord always lives. Gopakumar, hearing this description, fainted. And Lord Shiva picked him up and he said, if you get 100 times more mercy than I have, then you can go to Vaikuntha. You do not belong in this realm of Mahakal. He said, actually, the Brahmana whose sons were stolen from Dwarka, the reason he wanted to get his sons back was to try to rescue them from impersonal liberation. So the Vaikuntha messengers glorified Gopakumar, and they said, actually, your guru is an incarnation. They said, go to Vaikuntha by hearing pastimes, especially the Bhagavatam, and by performing the 9 parts of Bhakti Yoga. They glorified devotional service. But they said, if you want to go to Vaikuntha, you can't get there from here. You have to go back through the coverings, back into the universe, and go to Vrindavan. And there in Vrindavan, you have to do Nam Sankirtan. And they disagreed with people like Yadamuni. They said, really, meditation isn't the best process. The best process is chanting. Because if you chant, you are automatically meditating and you are engaging all of your senses in Krishna's service. So then in Vrajabhumi, in Vrindavan, Gopakumar went there and he listened to the Bhagavatam from the pure Brahmana in Mathura. Again, he saw his spiritual master, who he embraced and from whom he received more instructions in chanting the mantra. After that, Gopakumar engaged more and more in Sankirtan. Then he saw Krishna, just for a moment, who disappeared. Right after that, an airplane came with the same Vaikuntha people that Gopakumar had seen in the Mahakal. They said, come, get on our airplane and come with us now to Vaikuntha. So when they're in the airplane, they said, Gopakumar, why don't you get a form like ours with 4 hands? And Gopakumar says, no, I just want to be a cowherd boy. But at that time, he got a body completely made of spirit. He flew to Vaikuntha, and everyone in all the planets as he passed were honoring him. They even went past Mahakal and past Lord Shiva. Then Gopakumar came to the gates of Vaikuntha. He stopped there, and the Vaikuntha people who were taking him, they said, "You please wait here while we get permission from the Lord." So Gopakumar saw somebody enter who looked just like Vishnu. And he bows down and he said, "Oh, Lord of the universe!" And the person said, No, I am just a servant. I am just a servant." Then Gopakumar saw someone else enter who was even more opulent, coming with his consort. He says, "Oh, Lord Vishnu, Lord of the universe. No, I am just a servant." And he saw so many people enter. Some of them came alone. Some came with associates. Some came with opulences. Some came with just another person. Some had different forms. Some had the forms of birds or even trees or monkeys or demigods or even demons. Some of them would change their forms. Sometimes the place was full of jewels, and sometimes it was just white, and glowing. And Gopakumar thought, "Wow, the Brahman is nothing compared to Vaikuntha." Finally, Gopakumar was escorted inside, and there he saw many different gatekeepers, each of whom looked like the Lord. And they were all offering obeisances to an even more opulent personality. And Gopakumar offered obeisances and said, "You must be the Lord." He said, No, I am just the chief gatekeeper." And he explained to Gopakumar, "So when you see the Lord, he'll have a Sri Vatsa mark, he'll have a Kastuba jewel, and you have to offer obeisances, and you have to offer prayers like this, and make sure you behave in this way, and make sure you behave in that way." Then they took him in to see the Lord. Well, at that time, Gopakumar forgot all of the instructions that he had received when he saw the Lord with his Sri Vatsa and Kastuba, and he saw Lakshmi on his left, and Dharani or Bhumi on his right, Sudarshan, Narada, Garuda, Sesha, and Narada was entertaining the Lord. And Gopakumar, forgetting all of his instructions, just said, "Oh, Gopal, my life and soul!" And he ran to Lord Vishnu. And the devotees held Gopakumar back. And Gopakumar fainted and cried. But Lord Vishnu said to him, "Come here quickly, come here quickly." And Gopakumar started dancing. And Lord Vishnu said, "I have been waiting to see you for such a long time." He said, "In life after life, I was dancing like a fool, thinking, in this life will he remember me? In this life will he remember me? In this life will he remember me?" He said, "You have passed many lifetimes without paying any attention to me." He said, "I didn't know how I could bring you home and still respect the laws of karma. So I arranged for you to take birth at Govardhan. And I myself became your spiritual master. Please stay here with me forever." So Gopakumar was stunned. And then flute players dressed like cowherds came and performed for Lord Vishnu. Gopakumar also played the flute. Then Lakshmi Devi said, "Now you're all going to have to leave. It's time for Lord Vishnu's lunch." But Gopakumar didn't want to leave. They really had to pressure him to leave. Gopakumar decided that he wasn't going to accept any of the opulences of Vaikuntha, so he stayed in the same form. Now Gopakumar got very intimate service for the Lord. He was able to fan Lord Vishnu and play a flute to entertain the Lord. And he would always glorify Lord Vishnu's activities in Vrindavan. So some of the other residents of Vaikuntha didn't like this. And they said, "You really shouldn't call Lord Vishnu Gopal so much. And you shouldn't talk about Vrindavan so much. It's true, the Lord has an incarnation as a cowherd boy, and he kills Kamsa, and he does activities in Vrindavan. I mean, he does that sometimes. But those aren't his most glorious activities. Why don't you talk about the Lord's glorious activities?" And some other residents of Vaikuntha says, No, it's okay. Because Lord Vishnu does appear as Gopal, it's all right to glorify him that way. You can glorify the Lord in any of his forms." So, of course, it's very interesting that the residents of Vaikuntha think that Lord Vishnu is superior to Krishna. It's also interesting that the residents of Vaikuntha have different opinions about how to glorify the Lord. It's not that everybody there becomes a robot. So Gopakumar started becoming more and more discouraged that although he was loving to be in Vaikuntha, he couldn't see the pastimes of Gopal. Now, sometimes when Gopakumar was watching the Lord, he saw Lakshmi become Radharani, and he saw Dharani, or Bhumi, become Chandravali. And he saw Lord Vishnu look like Gopal sitting on a throne. Still, he felt there was too much awe and reverence in Vaikuntha. He wanted to hug the Lord and play with him. And sometimes, Lord Vishnu went away. And then Gopakumar would feel intense separation. Narada found Gopakumar unhappy, and he said, "What is the problem?" He touched Gopakumar on the head with his veena, and Gopakumar revealed his mind. Narada said, "Vraja is the highest place, but the mood in Vraja is not compatible with Vaikuntha, even though the Lord is the same." He explained that the residents of Vaikuntha take different forms for different pastimes, and whatever form the devotees worship the Lord before they get liberated, that's the form that the Lord assumes for them. So whoever we worship now in earth, that is the form we will worship in liberation. So Narada explains that Lakshmi and Krishna incarnate in many, many forms on many, many places, and that they're all the same person, but some are more intimate. Then Gopakumar asks about the deities. He said, "Why are there some negative statements in the Puranas about deity worship?" And Narada Muni, who had written the book on deity worship, he says that deities have to be worshipped in the correct mood. You shouldn't make up forms of worship. He says that the Shastras are criticizing those who worship the deities but disrespect the devotees. And Gopakumar becomes very anxious to see Gopal. And Narada says, "I will tell you a secret." He said, "Beyond Vaikuntha, and not too far from here, is Ayodhya. And beyond there is Dwarka. The place you should go to is Dwarka. If you go to Ayodhya, then Ram will send you to Dwarka." He said, "You don't need permission to leave Vaikuntha." He said, "The Lord already came and told me that I should give you this instruction, so go immediately." So then Gopakumar goes to Ayodhya. There he sees the monkeys chanting, "Rama, Rama." And the monkeys grab away Gopakumar's flute. And Hanuman takes Gopakumar to Ayodhya. There Gopakumar sees Bharat. And he thought that Bharat was Ram and starts worshiping him as Ram. And Bharat says, "No, no, no, I am a servant." Then Hanuman brings Gopakumar and his flute to see Ram, Sita, and Lakshman. Gopakumar offers obeisances. Ram picks him up. And Gopakumar sees Hanuman serving and fanning the Lord. Gopakumar bows to Ram, and Ram says, "Oh, you are my dear friend. Get up, give up this reverence." Hanuman brings him to Ram's lotus feet. When Gopakumar would see Ram and Sita, he would always just remember the pastimes of Gopal, and he would imagine that Ram had the qualities of Gopal. Vraja imposed itself on the heart of Gopakumar. Hanuman tried to pacify him, but Ram noticed that Gopakumar was not happy, and so he sent Gopakumar with Jambavan to go to Dwarka, saying, "Go to Dwarka and be happy." Now, why did Ram send Jambavan to take Gopakumar to Dwarka? Yes, Jambavan is in both places. So Jambavan is in Ayodhya, in Ram's pastimes, and he's also in Dwarka with Krishna's pastimes. So Jambavan takes Gopakumar to Dwarka, and there Gopakumar sees the Yadavas, who are the most attractive persons. And the Yadavas embrace him and bring him into the city. There he sees, entering the gates, he sees Krishna in the Sudharma hall with two arms, like a young adolescent. And there he sees Vasudev, Balaram, Akura, Gada, Satyaki, Ugrasena, and he sees Narada entertaining Krishna with jokes. Uddhava was massaging Krishna's feet, and Garuda was playing. The Lord told Uddhava, "Bring Gopakumar up close." And the Lord put his feet forward, and Uddhava forcibly put the head of Gopakumar on the feet of the Lord, took the flute out of Gopakumar's hands. The Lord took the flute out of Gopakumar's hands and started crying, holding the flute and remembering Vrindavan. And while the Lord was crying and remembering Vrindavan, he said to Gopakumar, "How are you? Are you happy?" But the Lord was so disturbed thinking of Vrindavan that the ministers had to calm him down, and they had to bring the Lord into his inner quarters. And the Lord entered his inner quarters holding Gopakumar's two hands with Balaram and Uddhava. Devaki and Rohini and the wives all followed Krishna into his inner quarters. There Gopakumar had a vision in which Krishna looked like Madan Gopal. Devaki looked like Mother Yasoda. Of course, Rohini looked the same because she's both in Dwarka and Vrindavan. Then Krishna lifted Gopakumar up and cleaned his body. Krishna did not want to eat because he was feeling separation from Vrindavan, but his mothers forced him to eat. Krishna personally fed Gopakumar and then ate himself. Krishna and Balaram sat down with the Yadus, looking like Krishna and the cowherd boys. Uddhava took Gopakumar to his house to stay and gave him a lot of Mahaprasadam. Gopakumar got a lot of mercy while he was there. The residents of Dwarka spoke to Gopakumar. They said, "You shouldn't keep dressing like some miserly forest character. You should dress like us here in Dwarka." And Gopakumar said, "No, I'm going to stay like this unless Krishna personally tells me that I should change." Sometimes Gopakumar would see Krishna with four hands, and sometimes he wouldn't see Krishna at all because Krishna would go and visit the Pandavas who were very close by. At that time, Gopakumar was tormented by separation, and he would feel happy when Krishna came back to see him. One time, Narada Muni came to Uddhava's house where Gopakumar was staying. And Gopakumar said to Narada, "Everywhere I go, I see you. You were in heaven, you were in Vaikuntha, and now you're here in Dwarka." And Narada said, "Yes, the devotees expand just like the Lord. When the Lord expands for different pastimes, the devotees expand also." And Narada says, "I'm surprised that everywhere I go, you look just like a cowherd boy." Gopakumar said to Narada, "Oh, you actually know everything about this." Then Narada said to Uddhava, "Just see, this cowherd boy wants something that even you and I cannot get. Even though he has gone to so many places, he's never given up his distress. Why don't you enlighten him? Vrindavan is far away and the happiness inaccessible, but we can only pray for a means to attain it." So Uddhava said to Narada, he said, "This boy Gopakumar is a much greater soul than us. He was born as a cowherd boy at Govardhan Hill." Then Narada embraces Uddhava, and Uddhava says, "But I can't tell Gopakumar about Vrindavan. I'm only a kshatriya, whereas you're a brahmana." And Narada Muni starts laughing. He says, "We're in the spiritual world. We don't have anything to do with this Brahman and Kshatriya." And Uddhava says, "Oh, but the Lord likes to play like this, even here." Then Narada appreciates the charm of the Lord's pastimes. Then Narada begins to explain Goloka as a place that is far away beyond Vaikuntha, that Mathura is present with Vrindavan and other forests of Raja, that it's a land filled with cows that cannot be attained by awe and reverence, but only if one thinks of the Lord in a very intimate way. Narada said, "Really, Ayodhya and Dwarka are more similar to Vaikuntha. Goloka is much greater and much further away. Even the Gokula of the material world is supremely great." And Narada starts describing about when Krishna comes to Gokula. He said, "Krishna leaves all of his associates and paraphernalia behind in all of his abodes when he descends." He said, "That's why when you were in Vaikuntha, sometimes the Lord disappeared. He glorified Vrindavan, the desire trees, the Lord's kindness to Putana, his Damodar pastimes, his dancing, entertaining the ladies, how people cursed Lord Brahma for making eyes with eyelids, talked about Krishna's three ages in the spiritual world. He described the cart demon, the lifting of Govardhan Hill, the tying up of Krishna, the swallowing of the forest fire, Dainikasura, Kaliya, Pralambasura, the rainy season, how Krishna stole the gopis' clothes, how he begged food from the brahmanas, how Krishna saved Nandamarsh from Varuna, and Narada describes the flute song of Krishna and how wonderful it is in Vrindavan. He describes how Krishna disappeared from the rasa dance, how Krishna said he was indebted to the gopis, how the gopis praised the fruit of Krishna. He said Krishna is enchanted with the forest dwellers who control Krishna with their love. And so therefore, Krishna forgets his duties. He said, and I, Narada, have to remind him. Then he talked about how Akura took Krishna away from Vrindavan. But in Krishna's eternal pastimes, Krishna comes back immediately. He said, sometimes Krishna hides himself in the residence of Raja. He said, in Gokula, not everyone can see him all the time. But in Goloka, everyone sees him always. Narada says, my dear Gopakumara, this eagerness you have is very rare. He said, methods of attaining different goals are different. And then he said, I cannot say anything more. Uddhava, you please speak. So Uddhava, touching Narada's feet, starts to talk about the gopis and how much they love Krishna. And Uddhava says, I would be happy to be a creeper or some grass in Vrindavan so that I could see the gopis. Then Narada glorifies Uddhava. He says, even Rukmini can't attain the good fortune of the gopis. And Narada says, I can't describe the gopis, but my tongue is wicked and will try to do it anyway. He says, Uddhava, you have witnessed these things. And he says, Akura also describes the gopis. Bhishma also describes the gopis. Then Narada embraces Gopakumar, faints and trembles and starts to dance like a madman. He said, all these things are very private, and therefore I did not tell you any other place. So, of course, why can he talk about it at Uddhava's house? He couldn't talk about it at Vaikuntha, and not in Ayodhya, and not generally in Dwarka, but why in Uddhava's house? Why could Narada talk about Vrindavan in Uddhava's house? Yes, but what was special about Uddhava in respect to Vrindavan? He had been to Vrindavan. So it wasn't, these things weren't a secret from Uddhava. So Narada Muni then said to Gopakumar, if you really want to go to Vrindavan, you should go back to Jagannath Puri. He says, the main way that you're going to attain Vrindavan, you have to have a strong desire. You have to be willing to overcome all obstacles. You have to meditate on Vrindavan and sing about Vrindavan. You have to associate with people who have prema. You have to keep your prema hidden. You have to live in a holy place. You have to have complete humility. He said, humility and love will go together. And Narada describes the separation of the gopis when Krishna left Vrindavan. He said, if you want prema like Vrindavan, you have to go to Radharani. She's the only one who can give you prema. He said, or you can go to an incarnation of Krishna who is in her mood. Obviously, Sanatana Goswami is referring to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He said, you should go to Jagannath Puri. Well, Uddhava doesn't like that. Uddhava says, Puri isn't better than Dwarka. He said, the disadvantage in Puri is that the dramas of the Vrindavan pastimes would cause you sorrow. And anyway, the environment is too disturbing. You're not going to get humility in Jagannath Puri. And Lord Jagannath sometimes leaves Puri to go to Gokula. He said, you should go to Gokula Vrindavan. not to Jagannath Puri. Uddhava didn't really like it that Narada, they're already in Dwarka, that Narada is telling him to go to Jagannath Puri when they're already in Dwarka. He thought, felt Dwarka was good enough. So the Narada was very happy. Is Uddhava talking to the gopis? And he said, yes, Uddhava's giving very good advice. He said, you need to go to Gokula. Very good, Gopakumar, that you are very simple. And Uddhava said, normally you would have to ask Dwarkadish for permission, but to go to Gokula, that's not necessary. He said, really, even I went to Vrindavan to learn from the residents there. Uddhava said, don't worry, Krishna himself will take you to Gokula. At that point, Gopakumar closed his eyes, and when he opened them, he was back in this universe in Gokula. There in Gokula, he engaged in Sankirtan, where he experienced great ecstasy along with periods of great distress and separation. One time, when he was crying and became unconscious, Krishna came and wiped the dust from his face. Gopakumar, seeing Krishna, ran after him and tried to grab his dhoti. But Krishna ran away playing the flute, at which time Gopakumar fainted and fell into the Jamuna. Then he found himself transported by a vehicle through the material universe, through the coverings, past the Mahakal, past Vaikuntha, past Ayodhya, past Dwarka. And he arrives in Goloka, in the spiritual world. He was very surprised. He said, this looks just like Gokula. And he sometimes would hear people talking even about Kamsa. And Gopakumar tried to talk to the residents there, but nobody would pay any attention to him. He would hear simply them crying. He also heard songs. And he's asking, where's Krishna? Where's Krishna? Finally, one old lady said, Krishna will come back after he herds the cows. Then he heard Krishna's flute, and everyone around him experienced great ecstasy. Krishna then came out of the forest and ran up to Gopakumar and embraced him. Then Krishna fainted in great ecstasy, crying profusely. The gopis were very upset. Who is this new boy? What has he done to Krishna? Why is Krishna now lying on the ground? Maybe he's a wicked magician, some wizard that Kamsa has sent to hurt Krishna. Then Gopakumar put Krishna's feet on his head, but still Krishna was unconscious. Then Balaram came and made Gopakumar hold Krishna's head, made Gopakumar lift Krishna up, and Krishna embraced Gopakumar and kissed him. Then Krishna took Gopakumar's hand in his and entered into the village. Gopakumar went to Krishna's home with him, and Mother Yashoda showed him much love. And Krishna addressed him by his spiritual name of Sarup. The gopis came and bathed Balaram. Then they bathed Krishna. And while they went to bathe Krishna, Krishna threw his flute to Sarup and said, you better hold my flute so that the gopis don't get it. And there were wonderful bathing pastimes where the gopis are bathing Krishna and he pretends that they hurt him and he goes, ow! And the Mother Yashoda comes in and says, what's going on? And then they all ate together with Sarup sat with Krishna and Balaram. Krishna was being fed and he also fed Sarup. At one point, Krishna got a Manohar Ladu that Radharani had made. Krishna took a little taste of it and he made a face like it wasn't very good. And as soon as that happened, Mother Yashoda looked at Radharani and she was upset. And Radharani's rivals were smiling, and Nandamarj was bewildered. And Krishna then took this Manohar Ladu and threw it to Sarup. And as soon as Sarup ate it, he thought, oh, this is wonderful. And then Krishna looked at Radharani and explained with his eyes why he did that. Actually, Sarup is a member of the same family as Shrirati Radharani. Then Krishna gave the pan he had chewed to Sarup and then went to bed. As Krishna was going to bed, Radharani offered him pan, and Chandravali and Lalita were massaging the feet of Krishna. At that time, Sridham came and took Sarupa away. Sarupa didn't sleep all night. He was just thinking about Krishna. But at dawn, he returned, and he saw on Krishna's body signs that he had been out all night in the forest. And when Mother Yashoda saw them, she said, oh, Krishna didn't get a very nice bath last night. And look, he was pricked by the thorns when he was wrestling yesterday. She was criticizing the gopis that they didn't bathe him very nicely. Then Krishna got up to leave to go to the forest with the cows, playing his flute and buffalo horns. And Krishna was sweating in the sun, apparently, but really he was sweating because he wanted to see the gopis. And Mother Yasoda brought him something to eat and told him to be careful. Then she went back home. Then she came again and told him to be careful. Then Krishna again sent her home. Then again she came and told him to be careful. And then again Krishna sent her home. Eventually she went home. Actually, Krishna felt more pain than the gopis did due to separation from them. But he really derives more pleasure in the forest than in the village. All these eternal residents of Goloka also have their expansions in Vaikuntha and even in the material world, just like Sridham expands as Garuda, and Vasudeva and Devaki as Sutapa and Prishni, and Kasyapa and Aditi. So when Krishna's devotees like Radharani appear in Goloka, all the other expansions merge into her. And Sanatana Goswami explains that all the residents of Vrindavan think, I am the most dear to Krishna. I am Krishna's favorite. And he says, actually it is so. Each one is Krishna's favorite. Then Sarup tells his Brahmin disciple the story of Kaliya, that the Kaliya in the spiritual world, and there Krishna takes the shawls of the Nagapatnis and makes a rope and puts it through Kaliya's nose and plays on Kaliya just like a horse. How he whips Kaliya with his flute and rides on him throughout the Jamuna in the spiritual world. How Krishna captured Aristasura in the spiritual world and gives him to Lord Shiva to ride on. How Krishna rides Keshi in the spiritual world and makes him do tricks for all the residents of Vrindavan. How Akura comes also in the spiritual world to take Krishna to Mathura. And that there all the people criticize Akura. The gopis fall in front of the chariot. Krishna sneaks off the chariot and goes with the gopis. And then again he goes to Mathura. And while Sarupa is telling the Brahmana disciple about Krishna going to Mathura, he became stunned and he couldn't speak anymore. Finally, when he revived, he said, but then Krishna comes back. And when he comes back, everyone forgets that he's ever left. And again Akura comes. And again he leaves. And again he comes back. And each time the residents of Vrindavan forget that he's ever left. So Sarupa says that while I was there in Goloka, sometimes I would come here to Gokula. And I would never see any difference between Goloka and Gokula. But one time Srimati Radharani came to me and said, one of my devotees is there in Vrindavan. You please go and bring him to me. So then Sarupa could see that his Brahmana disciple still did not have prema. So therefore he put his hand on the head of the Brahmana, who then achieved prema. Now he got pure love and ecstasy. Then both Sarupa and the Brahmana heard the sounds of cows and the flute. Then they saw Krishna. They fell down and offered obeisances. Krishna called the Brahmana Janasharma, and he said, I am so happy that you have come to me, but what gift can I give you? And the Lord gave the Brahmana, who is now a cowherd boy, his own ornaments. Krishna gave water to the cows, he played in the water with his friends, and Sarup and Janasharma had lunch with Krishna and Balaram. Krishna served all the boys in circles, fresh forest fruits and flowers given by their mothers. And Krishna ate from each plate, and he fed all the boys from his own plate, and they fed him from their plates. And then the boys put on garlands and sandalwood, and Krishna entered Vrindavan and told Sarupa, you please take care of Janasarma. So Parikit, in telling this story to his mother, he said, now you can understand that there are realms even above Vaikuntha. And therefore, you should meditate on Goloka and go to Goloka. This story was written and given to us by Sanatana Goswami. anyone have any questions or discussions?
Very interesting. His ancient accent.
So the demons in Vaikuntha Loka are simply different forms of the inhabitants of
yes.
Krishna's pleasure.
Exactly. So there's some, in other words, there's some pastime like that, but they're actually devotees. Yes?
You said that Lalita and Chandravali were massaging of Krishna's feet.
Yes.
That Chandravali, who Radharani don't want to see, and Lalita hates like ants, or this is just different?
No, it's the same Chandravali.
In the spiritual world, it's not this...
No, sometimes. Just like in Rasa Lila, all the different gopis are dancing together. In their holy pastimes, all the different gopis are together. Chandravali is Radharani's cousin sister. So sometimes they're doing Lila together and sometimes not. But in this case, Sanatana Goswami explains that Radharani is there feeding Krishna pan, and Chandravali and Lalita are massaging Krishna's feet. Of course, there are eight main gopis. Who are the eight main gopis? Chingavidya is one of Radharani's eight main friends, but who are the eight main gopis? Well, the two main gopis are? Lalita and Vishakha are two of them. But who are the two main gopis?
Radharani and Chandravali.
So of the eight main gopis, there's Radharani and Chandravali, also Lalita and Vishakha, and?
Sudevi?
No, that's Radharani's chief friends. Shaibya and Padma, who are Chandravali's two assistants. So Chandravali and her two assistants, Shaibya and Padma, Radharani and her main assistants, Vishakha and Lalita, and then also Shamala and Bhadra. So those are the eight main gopis. And Radharani has her eight main friends, and Chandravali has her eight main friends.
Why Mayapur they put only...
There, because there they have Radharani and her eight friends, instead of the eight main gopis. But like when Krishna returns in Rasalila, when he returns, the Bhagavatam talks about seven, doesn't talk about Bhadra. It talks about how when Krishna returns, that first he's greeted by Chandravali, then Shaibya, then Padma, then Radharani, then Lalita. No, first Chandravali, then Shamala, then Shaibya, then Padma, then Radharani, then Lalita, then Vishakha. Any other questions?
So, Rupa Kumar, did he undergo many different lives?
It certainly seems like that, doesn't it?
It
certainly seems like that. Yeah, also, you know, when he falls in the Jamuna and then goes on an airplane, that seems like a kind of death. Actually, this Brahmana, before he sees Krishna in Vrindavan, it says he falls on some thorns. And then he sees Krishna. So it also sounds like a kind of death. So there's at least two times when it sounds like Gopal Kumar dies. And certainly, I mean, he certainly has experiences that generally we would consider being more than one life. You know, he becomes the king in the capital. He's the king in Jagannath Puri. He's Indra. You know, he's Brahma. And he's Brahma through a long period of time at Brahman and so forth, but it's not clear. Certainly he retains his own memory, and there's no explanation of him like being born and growing up again, but it certainly sounds like it's more than one life. Yes. Well, this is also explained in the book Prema Samputta by Radharani herself, that that love diminishes if it's advertised. Now, of course, sometimes the devotees can't hide their prema, but they try. Otherwise, one becomes proud. And Narada explains that the whole reason they sent him to Vrindavan is they say you cannot attain prema without humility. They go together.
About this question about Uddhava, is he has a house, home?
Yes.
What is his home? I don't understand.
He has a house in Dwarka, that's where he lives. So he had Gopakumar stay with him as a guest. And that's where Narada Muni came to talk to Gopakumar about Vrindavan.
So he gets the position of Krishna in
Gopakumar. Yes, he becomes the cowherd boy Sarupa. Yes. Yes.
Well, that is, and then in between he said that the process of my devotional of devotional service and performing devotional service, like Sankirtan was also mentioned there, yeah?
Yes.
So how is it possible that this is the process we are following?
Yes.
So how is it possible that he didn't get straight ahead to the Lokamitana?
Well, that's very interesting.
Right.
Of course, he didn't really know about Goloka Vrindavan. So you find that he's very ignorant, that he finds out about each place as he goes there. You know, he doesn't know about, he just wants to see the Lord of the universe, and then he sees the Shiva, and then he sees his four-handed Vishnu. I mean, he keeps getting more information as he's going. His guru didn't give him all information at first for whatever reason. And also you find he does also have a desire to go to all these other places. I mean, the Bhagavatam describes that a yogi can visit all the planets on their way to Goloka Vrindavan. Now, interestingly, his disciple doesn't have that experience. So his disciple, this Mathura Brahmana, he starts out not even looking for God. He starts out looking for money. And he doesn't go to Swarga. He meets these Brahmanas who talk about Swarga, but he doesn't want to go. He becomes disgusted. Whereas Gopakumara, when he meets them, he does want to go. And then when this Mathura Brahmana meets the sannyasis, he does get attracted to the idea of liberation. And it's then Krishna and Lord Shiva who change his mind in a dream. And so he ends up going back to Vrindavan, and then he goes directly there to Goloka Vrindavan. So the Mathura Brahmana doesn't go through all those stages, and doesn't go through all the different planets. Which is interesting. So it's basically he didn't need to, because he hears the story of Gopakumar, and then he says, "Oh, I don't want to do that. Let me just go to Krishna directly. Why should I go through all these different stages?" But it is a fact that each of us have a somewhat different path. You know, even we're all sitting here, but what path we've gone through in our different lives and how we've come to get here is going to be quite different for each one of us. Frankly. Anything else? Yeah, it's in three huge books that are published by the BBT and were translated by Gopi Purnadana Prabhu. So each book is about this big. There's also a little smaller one without all the Sanskrit, etc., that was translated by Dasarath Sutta. And on sadhusanga.com you can get an audio book of Dasarath Sutta's translation, which is shorter. There's also a part one, which I didn't tell you. So, part one to the Brihad Bhagavatamrita is a different story. I have a presentation on it, but I haven't really put it all together yet. Anything else? So I hope you enjoyed that.